Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our English worship service here at CCCGA. And as you notice, we have new speakers here. Do they sound good? I think they sound great. To add more, a little bit bass sound and more of an oomph sound to it. Well, anyways, as many of you know, last week we were away for our English ministry retreat. And for those of you who weren't able to join us, we really missed you and hope that next year you can be able to join us. And we could see that God really moved. God really worked in each of our lives during this retreat. And we praise God for that. You know, as we worship with one another, as we fellowship with one another, and also even just have fun. So I remember there's a particular group, small group, that was flinging bugles with a stick and trying to get into people's mouths. That same group, their whole small group had locked themselves out of their own cabin, and they had to go through outside, climb in through the windows to get back in, twice.
No, we had to do it for another group.
Another group too? Okay, I didn't know. Whose fault was it? Anyways, it doesn't really matter. What matters is I know that you all had fun during the retreat, but for many of you as well, that retreat was like the first time that you really had a spiritual experience, that you could really put aside all the distractions from like your normal day of life, where the stress comes from parents, from school, or whatever it may be, and really just focus on God. So you know that God was working in your life. Now, during this retreat, I know that many of you had also made some commitments to God. During our Saturday night, we had a praise fire. So it was a time where everyone can be able to share openly about some of the things that God has been teaching them recently and share some of the struggles that you're going through. Some of you shared about, like, for example, like that you feel far away from God and you struggle with, you know, keep reading His Word and studying His Word and growing your relationship with Him. So if that's the case, if that's the commitment that you make, that when you come back from the retreat, that you want to start to read God's word more and to grow in that relationship with Him, it's my prayer and hope that you will keep that commitment. And in order to do that, no matter what commitment that you make, no matter what change that you want to make before God, there's something that we have to do. You need to remove that sinful practice or sinful habit and then replace it with a new godly habit. And this sounds very familiar to many of us because this is what we have been focusing on for the past couple of weeks. So for those of you who are joining us today, we've been going through a sermon series through the book of Colossians that is called The Preeminence of Christ. Preeminence means that Christ is first. Christ is number one in our life. And the thing that we struggle with when it comes to putting off those sinful habits and putting on new godly practices and godly habits. I think even if we didn't make a commitment during the retreat, at other points in our life, we may have made other commitments before God, or we may say to God, I want to overcome the sin. But no matter how hard we try, sometimes it just seems very difficult and we struggle and we need help. You see, the thing that will actually really help us to remove sinful habits and replace them with godly habits is this fact, submission. It is submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And this comes in line with the whole theme of the book of Colossians, the preeminence of Christ. If Christ is number one, if Christ is first in our life, are we submitting to that Lordship? Are we submitting to His preeminence? So, as we go into the next part in Colossians chapter 3, we will see what does submission to the Lordship of Christ look like and how that would actually help us remove sinful practices and put on new godly practices so that we can be able to live a life for Him and keep our commitments. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to please turn them out, take them out and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Again, just a little quick review. In the first four verses of Colossians chapter 3, we had talked about the basics of daily Christian living. The basics concerning centering our perspective, centering our mindset, and centering our hope onto Jesus Christ. These are the basics that we need to return to in our daily Christian living. Then in the next section from verses 5 to 11, we talked about removing sinful practices. And then next, verses 12 to 14 is putting on godly practices. And now here we are in today's passage. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to focus on verses 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, please follow along as I read. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Would you bow with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we have so much to thank you for. We have so much to praise you for. And ultimately, we see how much that you love us because you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Father, as we look into this passage today, I pray that you show us what does it mean to fully submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that whatever commitments that we may have made recently to you, that we will be able to keep them by your grace and with your help. Help us to see how that submission to you is related to all of this. Father, we lift you up and we praise you. And we just want to thank you for everything that you've done. Lift these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The main question that we're answering in this passage is this. What does submission to the Lordship of Christ involve? What does submission to the Lordship of Christ involve? And as we go through this passage, there are three particular actions, okay? Three particular actions that are involved in this submission to the Lordship of Jesus. So let us start with the first one. Let's read from verse 17 again. Again, this is the Apostle Paul who is speaking and writing to the Christians in Colossians. Verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So here's the first action. What does submission to the Lordship of Christ involve? Number one, it involves letting the peace of Christ rule your hearts. It involves letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let's talk about that. If you are a Christian today, you already have the peace of Christ in you. If you have a chance, you can go back to chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, and this is what it says. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. So the peace of Christ is actually that which comes from the cross as we are reconciled with God. Remember, before, we are sinful people. We are separated from God because of our sins. But through the cross, through the death of Jesus on the cross, we are restored to in our relationship with God. And as a result, we can have peace. So this is what it means when it says that we need to have the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. So again, if you are a Christian, you already have that peace in you. This peace is something that's tranquil. This peace is something that should satisfy us. No matter what happens in our life, no matter what seems to bother us, no matter what struggles and what suffering we should go through, we can be able to get through anything because we rely on this peace of Christ, which should rule in our hearts. Nothing should be able to move or shake us because our full trust is in Christ. So my question is, do we let the peace of God rule in our hearts? So I already established that you have the peace of Christ if you are a Christian, but I'm asking specifically, do you let the peace of Christ rule in your heart? So the word rule in Greek literally means to judge, to decide, or control. So you can think about the peace of Christ ruling almost as like an umpire in a baseball game, or like a judge during a swim meet. So as many of you know, I used to be a swimmer. I did competitive swimming when I was growing up in middle school and high school. And sometimes I've just had some bad experiences with some judges during the swim meets. Like right before my race, you know, I would, I guess there's a judge who had disqualified me because I had did a false start. So basically I jumped into the pool right before the buzzer hits. And there's another time where I was disqualified for trying a new technique that my coach had taught me. And I thought, okay, if my coach had taught me this new technique for my breaststroke, it should be legal, right? Apparently that move was illegal, so I got disqualified from that race as well. So, I mean, I had some bad experiences with some judges for swim meets. But you have to keep in mind this. Judges, umpires, or referees for other sports, they're there because they're here to keep everything in line. So when it says in this passage that the peace of Christ rules in your heart, the peace of Christ judges, the peace of Christ controls and decides, think about the judge or an umpire or a referee keeping you in line with the peace. And this peace, again, is that which you have received from Jesus Christ through believing in him and his death on the cross. Imagine the peace of Christ sitting in a throne, overlooking the arena in your heart. Any thoughts or any actions that seem to distract or pull you away from this peace should be avoided. So again, if you have the peace of Christ ruling in your heart, then it is that measure, it is that judge which keeps you in line in having peace with one another. Let's read verse 15 again. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So the peace of Christ, again, that's which comes from your vertical relationship with God, has been reconciled and been restored with Christ. That type of reconciliation, that type of peace should also be reflected in your horizontal relationships with one another here in the church. I think we are all called to have peace with one another in the church, just as we have peace in God. Now, very often, just like looking around at many different churches, we see sometimes there's a lot of conflicts, there's a lot of struggles, a lot of arguments over small and insignificant things in ministry, and that can tear the body of Christ apart, sometimes even causing church splits. But if we were to submit everyone to the lordship of Christ, to the preeminence of Christ, and acknowledge that he's the one that rules above all of us, then we would be reminded that we all have the peace of Christ in us. And with that peace of Christ in us, we can have peace with one another in the church. So again, to submit to the lordship and to the preeminence of Christ in your life is to submit to the peace of Christ, which should rule in your hearts. Does the peace of Christ rule in your heart? So again, that is the first point. The action that is involved in submitting to the lordship of Christ is letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let's move on and see what else is involved. What other action is involved to submit to the lordship of Christ? Let's continue on and read verse 16 here. Please follow along as I read. And now, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So this is our second point. So what is involved? What does submission to the lordship of Christ involve? Second point, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It involves letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So just like as we are Christians, we already have the peace of Christ in us. As Christians, we also already have the word of Christ. In other words, scripture, the Bible. We just need to let it dwell inside of us. So the word dwell means to live or to inhabit. So our heart is like a house in which scripture should be living in. And the word, and it's not just dwelling, it says here, dwelling in you richly. So richly means abundantly. So just for kicks and giggles, let's assume that, okay, sorry. Maybe I should use a different word next time. Let's assume that instead of using the word scripture, let's say it says donuts, okay? So then it would say, let donuts dwell in you richly. Then it means that you can just eat more and more and more. So every time I go to Dunkin' Donuts, when I get the receipt, I go online and I take the survey and get the code. So then next time I go back in, I can get another donut. But if we keep on letting these donuts dwell inside us and eating more and more, we'll eventually get stuffed. We eventually get satisfied and eventually, basically get fat. But here's the difference between donuts and like scripture. When scripture dwells inside you richly or abundantly, think about it this way. The more that you put inside your heart, the more room that there should be for you to store even more. So as a result, you're encouraged. You want to store more and more scripture in you to the point where it even overflows out in your speech. It overflows out in your actions. Consider these verses here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything according that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That's one of the memory verses? That's great. Also, Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you cannot say that the word of Christ dwells in you richly if you don't read, if you don't study, or if you don't memorize it. I'll say that one more time. You cannot say that the word of Christ dwells in you richly if you don't read, study, or memorize it. So this should be an encouragement for all of us. So as you know, this morning, the youth had a scripture memory competition for the first two rounds. So congratulations to Paul's team and Tiffany's team for winning the first two rounds. Woohoo. So good job. So the last and final round will be in 2 weeks on May 14th. So both of their teams will go head to head, and then we'll determine and see who's the 2017 champions for this year. And then you get your names on a plaque that is outside on the hallway. So again, this type of competition is to encourage all of you to memorize scripture and to store God's word inside your heart. Notice, this isn't necessarily a knowledge thing. You aren't storing God's word in your mind. In your mind, it's just knowledge. But when you store God's word in your heart, then there's a difference. There's more of a wisdom aspect. There's more of knowing how to apply it in your life. And this will be beneficial to you in your Christian walk. Because there are many times where you'll go through in this life where you'll go through a hard situation, or whether you'll go through a situation even when you have to praise God, and all of a sudden, you'll know that there's a verse that pops up that is related to the situation that you're going through. And that verse can either bring you comfort, that verse can bring you, to lead you to worship God even more. Storing God's word in your heart, letting it dwell there and dwell there abundantly and richly is very beneficial. So memorizing scripture is only one way in which you can have God's word dwell in your hearts. And of course, other ways is continue to read it and continue to meditate upon it. However, this passage here gives us two other ways in which you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let's read verse 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And here's the first way. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So how can you teach one another? How can you admonish or to correct or reprove one another if you don't have scripture, if you don't have God's word in your heart. See, scripture is supposed to meant to, we can be able to point one another towards Jesus Christ by teaching each other with scripture. Whenever we see a brother and sister seem to fall away from their faith and seem to go in a direction that they shouldn't be going in, you can use God's word and through God's love, approach them and lovingly bring them back. Whenever something great happens in your life, you can also use scripture to encourage one another to bring praise to Jesus Christ rather than bring praise to yourself or whatever pride that there may be. Scripture, as it dwells in your heart, can be used to glorify God. And also, there's a second way in which scripture dwells in our hearts richly. Let's start from the beginning of verse 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And here's the second way. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So think about it. The worship songs that we sing here in church or songs that we even listen on the radio, they all reflect God's word. They all have elements of truth in it, which is from God's word. So, I mean, honestly, I actually stopped listening to Christian radio for a long time, like K-Love or Air One or any other radio stations, because, I don't know, I kind of get a little bit annoyed that they seem to overplay songs, and it just gets really annoying. But then, now that I realize it, that's sort of the point. Like, because the more that you hear the song, the more that you're exposed to the truth that is in those songs, which is from scripture. So repetition of God's truth from God's from his word, even in the form of music, can be a way where it dwells in us richly. However, I wouldn't recommend that you only just listen to Christian music and not read the Bible. Your main source of truth should be directly from the word of God. And we can see, once again, how by letting the word of Christ dwell in our hearts, we can be able to see how that is submission to the lordship of Christ, because we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is above us. We acknowledge that he has saved us and he has given us his word. And there's a scripture in John, I forgot what was the reference, but it mentions that in order to love God means to obey his commandments. So as the word of God is dwelling in your hearts, you can be able to know and obey him and submit to his authority, his lordship, and his preeminence. Finally, there is one more action that is involved in submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Let us read verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here's point three. What does submission to the lordship of Christ involve? Number three, it involves letting everything we say, think, and do be in the name of Christ. It involves letting everything we say, think, and do be in the name of Christ. Verse 17, and whatever you do, so basically it means like anything that you do. And it's clarified by the next phrase here, whether in word or deed. So in word, meaning anything that you actually say, and also in deed, anything that you actually do. So really, this encompasses literally everything that you, every type of action that can come out of your body. The call for us here is that in everything that we do, we are to do it in the name of Christ. Now, right before the retreat, it's like a week or two ago, I needed help with some people to print out the retreat booklets and to help put them together. So I had my discipleship group, which involves Edward, Ethan, Frankie, and Joshua. During one of our meetings, we took the time to put together these retreat booklets. And I guess Joshua's little sister, Melinda, wanted to help too, so we had her come along. So to put together these retreat booklets, we sort of created an assembly line, okay? So we had Edward and Frankie first like put the four pages of the booklets in order, Okay, so we just make sure that they didn't put it out of order or anything. Then Ethan and I, we folded the booklets in half. And then finally, Joshua, he had like the special stapler to be able to put the staple right in the center of the booklets, and then the booklets were complete. So what did Melinda do, Joshua's sister? So basically we're like, okay, Melinda, you can do quality control. Okay, so just look through all the booklets, make sure the pages are in the right order or everything is stapled correctly. No, I could really actually start my own business. However, I might violate some child labor laws if I do that. But anyways, before I gave this project to this group of youth, I gave them a short little lesson. Actually, I told them about this verse and said that in everything that they do, it should be done in the name of Jesus Christ. It should be done to glorify him. So as they put together the pieces of paper in order, they should be doing it for in the name of Jesus Christ for his glory. As we fold the booklets in half, we should be doing it in the name of Jesus Christ for his glory. As we staple the booklets, we should be doing it in the name of Jesus Christ for his glory. And as we do quality control, we should be doing it in the name of Jesus Christ for his glory. So literally, I wanted them to think about this as they do every action in this assembly line to create or to put together these retreat booklets. So let's talk about application. So we said everything in word and in deed. So this means literally everything that you say should glorify God. I mean, how many times we don't really think about what we say. We just sometimes just say it, but then we don't really dwell and think about, is this really glorifying to God? Am I doing this in Christ's name? Do I sometimes like swear, or do I sometimes talk back or get angry very easily? Do I use my words to encourage and build up one another, especially that's in the church? You know, these are questions that we should always be thinking about when we're considering our speech. But it's not just what we say, it's actually what we think before we say too, or even despite whether we say it. I know sometimes I have said some things that I regret and some things that I shouldn't have. Like, especially like when I see someone do something stupid, I really want to call them an idiot, okay? But sometimes I don't call them an idiot. But even though I didn't say it, I already thought about it inside in my mind and in my heart. Like, thinking about it is almost just as bad as saying it as well. So we are to honor and do everything in the name of Jesus Christ as we say it, but also as we think about it too. And then finally, also in our deed. In every physical action that we do, it should be done in the name of Christ. Are you studying as a student and doing your best for God? Are you doing well in your sports and your extracurricular activities for Christ? Are you producing your best work in your jobs or whatever area of life that you are in solely for God? In order to do that, we need to constantly remind ourselves and repeat to ourselves, okay, literally every single thing, every single action, word, and speech should be done in the name of Jesus Christ and done for his glory. And this is very, very important because all of us, we represent Jesus Christ. We represent his name in everything that we say, think, and do. When people hear the name of Jesus Christ, what do they think about? We want people to associate Jesus Christ with the truth. We want people to associate the name of Jesus Christ with salvation through having faith in him. So consider some of these tarnished brand names. What do you automatically think about when I say United Airlines? I mean, you may have think about the recent debacle with, you know, like the dragging out of a Vietnamese doctor off a plane who had refused to give up his seat. So, I mean, that's automatically what you think about whenever you hear United Airlines. Or what about this, Samsung? Exactly. Even though that was like last year, you still think about the exploding Galaxy Note 7. Or, okay, this one is actually a little bit older, so I don't know if you guys will remember this, but BP. Yes, so even though like that was like so many years ago, we still think about that oil spill. So, I mean, these are tarnished brand names, and hopefully, I mean, I hope that they will recover from it But again, what do people think about when they hear the name of Jesus Christ? What they think about is dependent about how we represent him as Christians in what we say, what we think, and what we do. If you have trouble going through doing these things and thinking about how we can do that in Christ's name, then again, return back to the basics that we had talked about in our daily Christian living, which was a couple of weeks ago. So back in verses 1 to 4 in chapter 3. Again, we need to remind ourselves about the basics to center our perspective on Christ, to center our mindset on Christ, and to center our hope on Christ. If our mindset and perspective and hope are centered on Christ, then it is inevitable that everything that we say, think, and do will be done in the name of Jesus Christ and for his glory. So let us review everything that we have learned in this passage. Again, the main question that we answered is this: what does submission to the lordship of Christ involve? And there were three actions that were involved. So the first action is letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This peace of Christ, which is already in us and should overflow in how we relate to one another as Christians in the church. Number two, it also involves letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And by storing God's word in your heart, through memorizing it, through studying it, we can be able to teach and admonish one another. We can be able to sing worship songs that reflect God's truth and point everyone to worship him. And finally, the third action is letting everything that we say, everything that we think, and everything that we do be in the name of Christ, and especially for his glory. Now, here is one more thing that I would like to say. There's actually something in common with these three actions about letting something happen inside of you. All of these actually involve being thankful to God. Let's take a look here in scripture. Verse 15, we'll read through the whole passage again. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And what does it say here? And be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What does it say? With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So thankfulness should only be given to God alone. It is our primary response to what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross. So as we go out as Christians and we submit to the lordship of Christ and the preeminence of Christ, let us remember to do it all with thankfulness. Again, by submitting to the lordship and preeminence of Christ, we can be more successful, of course, with God's help, in removing the sinful practices and replacing it by clothing ourselves with godly practices in a way which fully reflects our identities as Christians in him. Identity as Christians who submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer, it's my hope that all of us will remember that fact. Will we submit to the lordship of Jesus? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that even though we may have sinned, even though we may have failed you on multiple occasions, there is still love and there's still grace. Lord, I pray that this message that we heard from your word is more of an encouragement rather than a discouragement. I pray that we can be encouraged that there is a way provided for us in how we can fully submit and surrender our life to you, to your lordship, to your the preeminence. God, forgive us when we have been self-sufficient. Forgive us in our pride and our other idols. Lord, I pray for those of us, again, who have made commitments during the retreat, that we will be able to honor you in keeping them. I pray that there will be accountability among the church as we check up on one another in our relationship with God. I pray that your Holy Spirit will move in this church to bring in more and more people who will yearn for for your word, who would yearn to know you more. Help us, Lord, to have this mindset. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And I ask that that this will overflow in us as we sing and respond in worship to you. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. We lift up all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.